Hold it. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through, we gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through, we gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher. Welcome back to another week of NFL coverage here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. Week 8 of the NFL season is in the books, and week 9 of the NFL season is right around the corner. And boy, oh boy, what a sloppy one it was this past weekend as there was rain all along the East Coast, and we had more and more shutouts. There have already been 20 shutouts through the NFL season so far. There were only 22 in all of 2016 last year, so we're going to talk about all the sloppy football that we saw this weekend with the rain, the snow, and all of the bad elements, as well as look ahead into week 9 of the NFL season in our weekly betting segment, Straight Cash Homie, where we're going to preview every single game by the point spread. But being that this is the Bay's Golden Days, you know what it is. We got to start it off with our own Oakland Raiders, who had to travel coast to coast all the way to Buffalo and unfortunately took another loss to drop to 3-5 on the season right after the Raiders put up a tremendous comeback against the Chiefs on Thursday Night Football. We thought the Raiders were back in black, but it ended up being that they just got blitzed in Buffalo.
We take two to the start.
We don't want to disappoint nobody. We're going to show up the right way.
Every game counts right now. By any means, we ready, we here.
Kazir will sack him. Caught by Michael Crabtree. Touchdown! Raiders!
By any means, the Raiders had to get a W this weekend, but they didn't. They ended up losing to the Bills 34-14 to drop to 3-5 on the year, while the Buffalo Bills improved to 5-2 and stay undefeated in Buffalo. And man, oh man, it seems like that Buffalo magic and that Buffalo weather sure did take effect on the Raiders. As I mentioned to start off this podcast, there was rain ravaging the whole entire East Coast, and it did not let up in upstate New York as Buffalo got a heavy dosage of rain, which ended up costing the Raiders and a few turnovers, but we'll get more into that as we hop in straight into the first quarter of the game. The Raiders ended up receiving the ball and started off the day with a 13-play, 81-yard drive led by Derek Carr and Michael Crabtree as they were connecting early, and that gets us into a 4th-and-1 situation, and we get the conversion with Jamaze Olawale, 20 more yards to Michael Crabtree, and another 20-yard pass to Lee Smith gets the Raiders down to the 1-yard line, and Jamaze Olawale punches in his first touchdown of the year with John Feliciano lined up at fullback, got some power running through the middle, and the Raiders scored to go up 7-0 quick on the Bills. And it's looking like this Buffalo Bills that was number one in points allowed, yards allowed, and turnovers per game could get the ball moved on them. And that's what the Raiders did in the very first possession to go up quick 7-0 early. But that was the real storyline of the first quarter as the Raiders and the Bills exchanged a few 3-and-outs, and the Raiders had the lead heading into the second quarter. But the Bills on their opening drive of the second quarter drove down the field on 9 plays, 64 yards. While Tyrod Taylor is looking like a Jabberwocky breakdancing in the backfield because he could not be touched. He was moving left and right like he was in the Matrix, and he was running back and forth, scrambling for his life, and he was just creating extra time for his wide receivers to get open. Hey, we know that our DBs can't cover for 4 or 5 seconds. It's impossible if a quarterback gets 7 to 8 seconds. And as he's dancing around in the pocket, Andre Holmes gets open in the back of the end zone and catches it for a touchdown. The X-Raider Andre Holmes gets his revenge to tie up the game 7-7. The Raiders then get the ball back with about 2 minutes left in the first half, and we're looking for this 2-minute warning offense. Derek Carr has been elite getting points before halftime, so I'm thinking, hey, this is a chance where we got to go drive the ball downfield, hit Coop, hit Crabtree. He's already got 70 yards in the first half. Let's get some points before we go into halftime. And no, what does our offense do? We go into a 2-minute dink and dump offense. Like, we literally threw 3 straight check down passes. And on the third 5-1 to DeAndre Washington. He can't hold on to the ball as he gets smacked. The Buffalo Bills put their helmets right on the ball. The ball gets fumbled up into the air and into the Bills' Matt Milano, who then scoops the ball up for a 40-yard touchdown. And it is a huge change of momentum as the Bills go up 14-7 at halftime. And we've seen this multiple times this year with a tip passes left and right, balls getting picked. We saw last week against the Chiefs when the Raiders are tipping passes and the Chiefs still have to get a touchdown. The ball is just not falling into our hands right now. We are not getting the breaks that we need to win big games in the football league. And that puts us down 7 points at the half while the Bills receive to start off the second half. Our defense comes out and gets a big three and out. So I'm saying, okay, we still got life. This defense is holding the Bills to only one touchdown in the first half. But what do you know? It forces the Bills to punt the ball back and Jalen Richard fumbles the ball after slipping down and the Bills recover at the Raiders 14-yard line. And once again, you got to think if the elements are coming into factor here. We saw DeAndre Washington get hit. That ball could have been wet and was one of the factors of slipping out. Jalen Richard now returned this punt earlier in the game, lost his footing on a kick return. Now on this punt return, slips as soon as he stands back up, tries to keep running, and he gets the ball stripped. That's two backup running backs, two fumbles, two big turnovers without Marshawn Lynch, but I'll get more into that after this game. Let's go ahead and look what the Raiders defense was able to do as they hold the Bills with another three and out and hold the Bills to kick a field goal, and they take the lead 17-7. The next drive, the Raiders get the ball back, but guess what? Another fucking tipped pass leads to an INT by Michael Hyde in Oakland Raiders territory, and that sets up the Bills for another field goal. Now they're up 20-7 after they get 13 points off of three turnovers. We're talking about a fumble, and a tip pass. Why can't we catch a motherfucking break? The Raiders are losing a turnover badly, terrible, and I've talked about it. The Bills were the number one turnover team before entering today. Well, they had three that turned into a quick 13 points for them, but you got to give some credit to the Raiders defense because these were two drives that held the Bills, two fumbles off of turnovers. They could have got points, and this game could have been a lot worse. But you want to talk about what's been getting worse? The Raiders offense. After we thought they were back last week, their offense continues to stall with more checkdowns, more screen passes, and they go three and out once again, and the Bills respond by going 12 plays, 80 yards after a big second and 20 conversion where we can't sack Tyrod Taylor once again. He converts then again on third and 13 where, surprise, surprise, we can't sack Tyrod Taylor because he's just running around in the backfield like he just escaped from jail, and he had Andre Holmes waiting for him on the sideline as his getaway driver as he connects with Andre again for 36 yards versus our backup DBs. There was no Amerson. There was no Carl Joseph. We had Dexter McDonald and TJ Carey getting burnt left and right, and the Bills drive the ball down all the way to the 1 yard line, but they get stuffed on second and goal. They get stuffed on third and goal. They line up for fourth and one, and the Raiders get a penalty. Encroachment on Navarro Bowman, but for some reason it was still fourth and one on the next play. Tyrod Taylor tries to go up and over, and as he's diving over the pile, Bowman knocks the ball out of his hands. The ball then goes 3 yards backwards to LeSean McCoy, and he gets tackled for a 3 yard loss. And I'm thinking the Raiders have come up with a huge play once again in the red zone. But no, the ball broke the plane and they called it a touchdown. How the fuck in the NFL is that called a touchdown when you got wide receivers like Calvin Johnson? He can catch the ball in the end zone, get tackled to the ground, stand up and drop the ball when he stood up and he didn't have possession. As a running back, we've seen just the other week, we saw the tight end from the Jets get stripped at the goal line. He fumbles the ball into the end zone, and it's a turnover for the Patriots. So how in the NFL does Tyrod Taylor jumping up and sticking his little ball over the line count as a touchdown when he didn't even control it for more than 5 seconds? Where's the possession? Where's the call? How the hell is that a touchdown? How do you reward somebody with a touchdown? 7 points for fumbling the ball. I think it's a complete bullshit rule. Of course, obviously, I understand it. He broke the plane. But what, so we're just going to have guys just literally pulling off a Statue of Liberty just to get the ball over the plane? Like, you don't even need to run it through anymore? Where's the quarterback sneak? I thought the Raiders defense held once again, and they looked phenomenal with all these red zone drives. But the Bills ended up with the points, and the Raiders offense were not putting up points at all this game. And from there on, it was over. Once Tyrod Taylor got in with that touchdown, I felt the momentum change once again for the fourth or fifth time. And it was pretty much all an uphill battle from there, hoping for a miracle. Somehow, some way, the Raiders offense gets the ball back, and they give the ball back in six plays. Couldn't even extend the drive to try to get back. They failed on fourth and three, turned the ball over with all these goddamn checkdown passes, and the Bills put in the final dagger in the Raiders' back with a 48-yard one-play dagger from LeSean McCoy. 48 yards, easy pickings to the end zone. This was the one play where the defense looked terrible. I can't even hate too much because the game was already over. That put the dagger in it, 34-14, and it was official. It was done. Derek Carr did have another interception later while he was trying to do some garbage time points or whatever, but I was truly disappointed in this offense. The defense, like I've been mentioning all year, they have played good enough to keep us in games, but they're not going to win us games. This offense needs to win us games. I said this is going to be a 30-point-per-game offense, and the Raiders failed to provide some offense once again, and I'm getting down to it. I'm getting sick of it. I called out Tyler Downing before. He looked better last week against the Chiefs, was actually running play action, was pushing the ball downfield. And then he goes straight back to his same game plan. Yes, I understand. I will give the Buffalo Bills some credit. Their defense, number one in turnovers. We turned the ball over four times. You can't win the game, turn the ball over four times. But we got to look at this play calling that's leading to all these turnovers, because all it is check down, screen, get us in a long third and eight situation, and you're still throwing more checkdowns. Get this. Derek Carr was 31-49. 313 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. Not a terrible day. Of course, those two interceptions could have been swinged back the other way with the tip balls and wet balls and all that nonsense. But 25 of his 31 completions were thrown for less than 10 yards. Why are we going back to this problem? I thought you understood Todd Downing call some plays down the field. I got to give some blame to Derek Carr because he gets the ball out so quick, which I thought was such a good thing. But it seems that this year, after he got his ankle hurt last year after the back, he's not extending plays in the pocket. He's not breaking the pocket, trying to roll, trying to scramble. Hell, we saw what he's able to do in play action when he gets outside of the pocket and moves his feet. But we're not running those plays. And Derek is relying on the check down. I was so disgusted by that two-minute offense at the end of the half. What the hell was this? Last year with Bill Musgrave, I talked so much shit about that guy, but now we're all Raider fans are begging to get Musgrave back because Todd Downing took a top five offense and put him in the bottom 10 of the league. Hell, maybe Todd Downing should just become our defensive coordinator because he's so good at stopping in an elite offense. Like, this is seriously a joke at this point. I'm calling for Todd Downing's head. He needs to get fired. He is last in the league in play action called. We were 3-for-10 on third down. Check down, dink and dump, screens. I can't take it anymore. Coop and Crabtree did try to get involved in the passing game. They both had 5 catches each. Crabtree had 83 yards. Coop had 48 yards. But Crabtree had 4 catches for 72 yards in the first half. Where was he getting active in the second half? He did have 10 targets. Coop had 10 targets. But Rashard and Washington also had a combined 17 targets. Why are we throwing to our two backup running backs just as much as we're throwing to our number one and two wide receivers? Because obviously we couldn't run the ball. And this is where I started to talk about Marshawn Lynch. And this is where I'm going to go in. Because Marshawn Lynch, this is on you. You should be back home playing in Buffalo. You were supposed to be the run game this year. I mean, obviously I got to give some discredit to the offensive line too, who's not blocking like they should have been and blocking like they did last year. But DeAndre Washington, 6 carries, 26 yards. Jalen Richard, 5 carries, 21 yards. No run game. And hey, that's probably why we can't even run the play action, because we don't run the ball good enough. But it seems like every time we turn back to hand the ball off, the defense knows we're running it because we don't run no goddamn play action. God, I'm getting so fucking tired of Todd Downing in this offense. Kent Norton in his defense is playing good enough to keep us in games. Jack Del Rio, you're the head coach. You got to make a move. Get rid of Todd Downing. Promote Mike Tice from that offensive line. Take over the play calling responsibility somehow. Let Derek Carr call the play, because the only time this offense is really getting things going is when they're in a no huddle, when they're rushing up to the line, when they're pushing the ball downfield. And that's not what the Raiders offense did at all today versus Buffalo. And I'm putting the blaming squarely on the offense for this loss. Yes, you might say, oh, the defense gave up 34 points. They let LeSean McCoy run for 151 yards. Well, hey, I still think this defense played above and beyond expectations. We talked about those turnovers where we held them to field goals twice in the red zone. That bullshit Tyrod Taylor up and over touchdown. Hell, LeSean McCoy, out of those 151 yards, I think 70 of them came on 2 runs. So the other 30 carries he had on the day made up half of his rushing yards, and that's only to add on of the 13 points off of turnovers. So really, what? The Raiders defense let up 21 points. We should should win. The only criticism I have about this defense is trying to get to Tyrod Taylor in the backfield. He had too much time. When you give him 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seconds, our DBs can't cover for 3 to 4. And as I mentioned, you give them all day, any wide receiver is going to get open. Any quarterback can make those completions. And Tyrod Taylor, I got to give credit to credits too. Him and his offensive line, Khalil Mack was neutralized. This offensive line for the Bills were able to neutralize Khalil Mack. Those are some words that I thought would never come out of my mouth, because he put on a huge performance against Buffalo last year, but they were ready for him this year and they shut him down. The Raiders could not get to the quarterback at all. Tyrod Taylor had a field day, but as I mentioned, played great red zone defense. You just got to give some credit here. Buffalo Bills, their offensive line played better than our defensive line. Their defense played better than our offense. And I just got to say, the Raiders, this is just terrible when you have 10 days to plan for the Buffalo Bills. I understand the whole East Coast travel thing. You got to stay on the East Coast now for another week as we play the Dolphins next week. But you had 10 days to plan for this game. And this was the game plan that we got. 25 of 31 completions for less than 10 yards. Todd Downing, you're done. Stick a fork in him. I don't want him no more. Get him the fook off of my Raiders, because I'm just sick and tired of the way this offense is falling apart. We should be one of the top tier offenses in this league, and Todd Downing has got us looking like a fucking Pop Warner team playing against the mascots at halftime. This is truly embarrassing, and the Raiders are now 3-5 taking on the Dolphins on Sunday Night Football. But hey, 3-5. There's so much parity in the NFL this year. I still got faith in my Raiders. People keep on asking me, oh, your season's over. Your season's over. No, I still got faith in the Raiders. What'd I say? Shit. 3-5. If we win out now, hey, we're 11-5. I still don't think that's happened. But with the parity in the NFL so far, I think there might be a 9-7 wildcard team, and I'm just warning you now, don't let us be that 9-7 wildcard team. Do not let the Raiders in the playoffs, because we will be a spoiler motherfucker. But before we get to the spoiler alerts and get to the playoff talk and keep on talking about the faith of the Raiders going into Miami on Sunday Night Football to take on the Dolphins in a primetime game, we got to rewind a little bit and go ahead and finish off the rest of Week 8 in the NFL. So here it is, Week 8 in 60 seconds.
It's Sunday in 60 seconds. Week 8. That's right, it is already Week 8. And here we go. Adam Thielen with the goal in London. Comes over Jameis and up the all-time sack list, while Drew Brees gets a milestone of his own.
It's the 6,000th career completion for Drew Brees.
The Eagles still appear to be a better football team than the 49ers.
That's it! Touchdown!
I can't believe this catch. Sanu? Spoiler alert, no one is catching Melvin Gordon, not even you, Malcolm Butler. But Joe Mixon comes up just short of 6.
Shut down by Dazeer.
The Bills humbly accept this gift from the football gods. A Cowboys win in Washington.
It's intercepted.
That ought to do it. The Texans and Seahawks submit a contender for Game of the Year. And the Steelers cruise in Motor City. That's it for Week 8. How about a group pick to remember it by?
That's it for Week 8. Can you believe it? We are approaching the midway point of the NFL season already. And as I mentioned, it has been a crazy one. There has already been 20 teams shut out this season. There were only 22 in all of 2016 last year. We've seen the parity around the whole entire NFL. The division races are closer to ever. And man, oh man, do we have a lot to talk about in a shitty weekend of terrible rain, terrible weather, and some terrible football, to be honest, in Week 8 of the NFL season. We already talked about the Raiders, so let's go ahead and keep it moving with the AFC, as we had the Chargers and the Patriots facing off in New England, and now Tom Brady is standing all alone as number one in NFL history with the most regular season wins after he passes Peyton Manning and Brett Favre. He throws for 333 yards, and only one touchdown was needed to beat the Chargers as they got the job done, with Phillip Rivers trying to keep it close, trying to keep it interesting. Melvin Gordon had a big day with 14 carries for 132 yards and a touchdown as he absolutely broke down the sideline, and I don't know how he got caught, but that boy just kept on running. And Joey Bosa was trying to breathe down Tom Brady's back all day. He now has the most sacks in the first 20 games of his career, but Tom Brady is just Tom Brady, and the Patriots are so confident with Tom Brady playing into his 40s, 50s now, that they have traded Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers. But we'll get more into that when we get to the 49ers segment. For the Patriots, they improved to 5-2 on the year with the big win over the Chargers, 21-13, where we saw them cover the spread of the 7.5 points. I've ripped on the Patriots all year long for not covering the spread, but hey, they covered it by beating the Chargers by 8 points and won you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days. Let's go ahead and finish off the AFC West, as we had a division matchup on Monday Night Football between the Broncos and the Chiefs, and the Chiefs got the job done 29-19 and won you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days again, as they covered the spread even though Kareem Hunt was only limited to 46 yards and Alex Smith was limited to about 200 yards passing. It was this Chiefs defense that forced 5 turnovers against Trevor Siemian. Marcus Peters had one hell of a night in the first quarter alone. He had a forced fumble, a scoop and score, an INT, and this Chiefs defense put the work on the Broncos, and this Broncos defense that was going to be able to slow down the Chiefs did not show up, and they fall to 3-4 on the year as the Chiefs go ahead and improve to 6-2 and give themselves a little bit of space out in the AFC West. Let's go ahead and move on now to another division matchup. We had the NFC East, the Cowboys and the Redskins facing off in Washington, D.C., and once again, the Dallas Cowboys cover their 2.5-point spread to win you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days by beating the Redskins 33-19, and just because they won us some money doesn't mean it's all good news for the Cowboys, though, as Ezekiel Elliott has one hell of a game and then finally gets suspended. Yes, that's right. Finally gets suspended, or as we think of, hell, by the time this weekend comes around and this podcast is a couple days old, he might be reinstated. But let's go ahead and talk about what he did to the Redskins, because he absolutely tore him up like he was handing out smallpox blankets to try to bring back the Native American genocide, because Ezekiel Elliott ran the rock 33 times for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns and was absolutely unstoppable. One of the big touchdowns came after a blocked field goal, and the Cowboys had all the momentum in this game as Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant connected 4 times, but we are going to need to have to see them connect a lot more as they will try to get the job done next week against the Chiefs with Ezekiel Elliott. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves and keep it moving with which was probably the game of the week in week 8 of the NFL season. I'm talking about the Texans and the Seahawks, where I told you take the Seahawks -5.5 points at home. They did not cover the spread, but they got the win, winning by 3 points, 41-38. And man, oh man, what a game this was. There was almost 1,000 yards between the two of them, and it came down to the very last minute. Jimmy Graham with the game-winning touchdown, his second on the day with only 22 seconds left. And Russell Wilson had one hell of a day as he threw for 452 yards, 4 touchdowns, and did have 1 interception, but those 452 yards were a franchise record, no doubt. And he actually ended the day with 476 of the Seahawks' 479 total yards. There's only 3 yards that Russell Wilson was not responsible for. Man, oh man, did he have a day hitting Doug Baldwin and hitting Tyler Lockett 6 times for 121 yards. And this was a good old-fashioned shootout as Deshaun Watson came out to play, was getting respect from the Legion of Boom. Richard Sherman said, hey, we've played against the best quarterbacks in the league, and you have done something that none of them have. Put up 38 points. He threw for 402 yards, 4 touchdowns, did have 3 interceptions, and did have a big INT to end the game late as Richard Sherman put the dagger in. But man, oh man, is this kid hot and is he on fire, as he's already passed Kurt Warner now for most touchdowns in the first 8 games of the NFL career. He was connecting with DeAndre Hopkins 8 times for 224 yards and a touchdown, and Will Fuller added 2 more touchdowns also. Will Fuller now has 7 of his 11 catches this year for touchdowns. Someone needs to get this guy his own franchise and open up a 7-11. Will Fuller is open 24-7 because he cannot be stopped. But the Seahawks just ended up having the ball last, and as I mentioned, that Jimmy Graham touchdown with only 22 seconds left got the big W over the Texans, and by far was probably one of the greatest games so far this season. I'd compare it right up there with the Chiefs and the Raiders last week on Thursday Night Football. But man, oh man, what a game we had, and what a huge win for the Seahawks to improve to 5-2 in that NFC West. But let's go ahead and keep it moving in that AFC South, as we'll go now from the Texans to the Colts, who actually showed up in Cincinnati and put on a fight. I took the Bengals to win, but they did not cover their 10-point spread as the Colts stuck in there and ended up losing 24-23. Andy Dalton threw for 243 yards and 2 touchdowns, but it was Joe Mixon who was having a big day, sort of, had only 11 rushes for 18 yards, but 3 catches for 91 yards as he broke but got tackled within the 5-yard line, just could not get that finishing speed. AJ Green also had a touchdown, and then Dunlap had a pick 6 at the end of the game to power the Bengals over the Colts 24-23 and improve now to 3-4. 3-4 in that AFC North. But if we're going to talk about the AFC North, we got to talk about the Ravens and the Dolphins, as we had a matchup in Miami, that Thursday night football game. The Ravens, of course, covered a 3-point spread and won you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days because they won 40-0. 40 on them. Put down a fat 40 burger on them. The Dolphins haven't lost that bad since the 90s when Jim Harbaugh was playing quarterback against them. The Dolphins do not have any success versus the Harbaughs in their whole entire career franchise, it seems like. And the Ravens got it done 40-0 without Joe Flacco, because Joe Flacco got taken out at halftime on what could be arguably classified as a dirty hit. Yes, Joe Flacco was going for the first down, gave himself up, but he didn't give himself up until he reached the first down yard line. And Kiko Alonso, being a linebacker, he's trying to stop the guy from getting a first down. So Kiko comes in, lowers his shoulder. Next thing you know, we got pushing and shoving. There's a little bit of brawl, all while Joe Flacco is completely out of it, sitting on his ass, throwing up a finger, looking like he's ordering a drink. The memes are fantastic for Joe Flacco so far, even though you don't want to make fun of someone getting a concussion. But him sitting at the bar saying, "Bartender, one more round," was absolutely cracking me up. And they didn't even need Joe Flacco in this second half because he got replaced by Ryan Mallett. He didn't even need to do anything. All he did was get chokeslammed by Ndamukong Suh. I swear, this was a terrible Thursday night game, and it ended with Jay Ajayi being traded to the Eagles. But we'll get more into that in our Week 9 preview. But the Ravens get a huge W over the Dolphins, 40-0. And then we'll talk about the first place team in the AFC North, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who improved to 6-2 on the year by taking care of the Lions 20-15 on Sunday Night Football. And once again, the Steelers covered the spread, -3, and won you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days, as Ben Roethlisberger throws for 317 yards, a touchdown, did have one interception, but he was letting that rookie play. And I'm talking about Juju Smith-Schuster, 97-yard touchdown. Get your Madden speed up, kid. He said he was looking back, hopefully thinking that the Madden will increase his speed because he's a rookie and ain't got no Madden stats. But I'm sure he will get a boost to his stats after having 7 catches for 193 yards and a touchdown that, hey, I swear, he was looking like Melvin Gordon. I thought he was going to get caught too, but these DBs is running in slow motion. They got quicksand on by their feet because he somehow got into the end zone. Le'Veon Bell also found the end zone after carrying the ball 25 times for 76 yards, and it proved to be a difference maker as the Lions just weren't even able to find the end zone all day. Matthew Stafford threw for 423 yards and no touchdowns. The last guy who threw for over 400 yards with no touchdowns? Matthew Stafford. Hey, I think we got a little something going here, because Matthew Stafford, you got to find a way into the end zone. They put up 15 points off of all field goals, so whoever had their field goal kicker in fantasy week, yeah, have a day. But you're not going to win a game against the Steelers kicking all field goals. And the Steelers, with this offense and with these new weapons of Juju Smith after sending Martavis Bryant down to the practice squad, if they could just get Martavis Bryant, just get 1-2 catch deep balls a game, this offense is looking unstoppable, and they get another win to improve to 6-2. But we got another matchup between the NFC North and the AFC North, as the Vikings took on the Cleveland Browns in London. I said that we weren't sending our best football teams across the pond, but hey, the Browns actually showed up in the first half at least, and they got the job done because they let the Vikings win by more than 9 points, which means money for you right here on the Bay's Golden Days. The Vikings got the job done in London, 33-16, but as I mentioned, the Browns came out in the first half, and they actually had the lead at halftime for the first time all year. Can we put a half and eight on the record? Can get like a first half win? No, we can't get those stats for the Browns. No, they don't do that in football. Well, hey, at least they had a touchdown from Isaiah Correll, who has been struggling this year. He carried the ball only 11 times, 64 yards, but found the end zone. He was also their leading receiver, but it was Case Keenum putting on a show with 288 yards and 2 touchdowns, connecting with Andrew Thielen, who had 5 catches, 98 yards, and a touchdown. And this Vikings defense was looking good. They were getting to the end zone, and they were pulling out all their FIFA celebrations, sliding, golazo, putting it on for the football fans out in London. And they improved to 6-2 as they are separating themselves in that NFC North right after Aaron Rodgers goes down. It's looking like it's going to be between them or maybe even the Bears trying to make a comeback. The Bears got a couple big wins a couple weeks in a row. Trubisky's not even throwing the ball more than 5 times. Well, he had to throw the ball more than 5 times this week against the Saints, but he still couldn't get the job done as they lose 20-12 as the Saints. And the Saints cover the spread once again and win you some more money here on the Bay's Golden Days, as Drew Brees throws for 299 yards, didn't have a touchdown, but he did complete his 6,000 pass, joining Brett Favre and Peyton Manning with the only people to throw 6,000 passes in the National Football League. And Mark Ingram continues his terror ever since the trade of Adrian Peterson with 18 carries, 75 yards, and a touchdown, as he does not outperform Jordan Howard, 23 carries, 102 yards, but Trubisky, interception, only threw for 164 yards against the Saints. The rookie's got to be better than that if you're going to try to outscore Drew Brees. But hey, at the end of the day, he couldn't get the job done, and the Saints win 20-12. And then we'll go with the Saints division, as we had a division matchup in the NFC South, the Panthers and the Buccaneers. I told you an upset special was coming, and to take the Panthers plus the 2.5 points, and that's exactly what they did to win you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days, is they took care of the Buccaneers 17-13. Cam Newton really didn't even have that great of a day. Hell, I don't think anybody had that great of a day. I kept on looking up at the score, expecting a shootout, expecting this to be a high scoring game, but no. Cam Newton had a 154, a touchdown, interception. Did connect with Kelvin Benjamin late in the day to give him a touchdown. That was their offense, as Cam Newton was once again the leading rusher with 11 carries, 44 yards. It looks like McCaffrey is just literally being turned into a slot wide receiver now, as this running game cannot get it going for the Panthers. But it was the defense for the Panthers that was shutting down Jameis Winston. 210 yards, two interceptions. One of those was picked off by Luke Kuechly. He also got sacked a few times by Julius Peppers, which moves Jay Peppers into number four all-time sack leader. I think it's great seeing Julius Peppers revitalized back on the Panthers defense, playing a little bit younger, kind of like when Charles Woodson came back from the Packers back to the Raiders. Julius Peppers has always been one of my favorite players, so it's good to see him and his defense getting back on track, and the Panthers improved to 5-3 in a very competitive NFC South division that still has the Falcons hanging around, as they improved to 4-3 this year as they got a win over the Jets 25-20. I said to take them minus the 5 points. Well, hey, they pushed, so hey, they didn't win you some money, they didn't lose you some money either, which is even more important here on the Bay's Golden Days, that we don't lose you some money. But the Falcons did get the W to improve to 4-3. Like I said, Matt Ryan with 254 yards and two touchdowns. The two touchdowns came in clutch after they started off the game just absolutely terrible, because I mentioned the rain on the East Coast throughout the whole entire slate of games in Week 8. It must have been the worst in New York, because the super rain caused two super fumbles right off the bat. Matt Ryan could not take a snap, and they were fumbling the ball left and right. But as the game went on, Matt Ryan got more of a grip for the football, and they ended up putting up points in every single quarter of this game to stay consistent enough to beat the Jets after putting up a big 9 points late in the quarter. Julio Jones had a couple big catches, and it was Coleman who was running the ball on the ground for the Falcons, as the Falcons are just staying alive in this NFC South by the skims of their teeth, as man, oh man, they could have lost a few games earlier in this year, but hey, they're still sticking with it, and that is every game from the NFL Week 8 of the season. The Falcons might have pushed, but hey, in about 9 of the other 12 games, we won you some money here. 12 games this week, we covered the spread on 9 of them, got you one push, and only missed 3 games. That's what I'm talking about to win you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days. But if we're going to be talking about money, we already won you some last week. Let's go ahead and look forward into next week, because you know what time it is.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right. It's time for week 9 of Straight Cash, homie, here on the Bay's Golden Days, where we go ahead and look at every single upcoming NFL matchup by the point spread and give you our best bets of the week. And if you've been listening to the show, you know the routine. We're going to start off with the Oakland Raiders, as we will stay on the East Coast in back-to-back weeks to take on the Miami Dolphins on Sunday Night Football prime time. And who the hell thought it was a good idea to put these two teams in prime time right now, especially the disappointment of the Raiders and then the Dolphins, who are going to be on Thursday Night Football last week, Sunday Night Football this week, Monday Night Football next week. Who the fook wants to watch the Dolphins? I don't know, but apparently they got some fans, and apparently they are the home underdogs against the Raiders this weekend, as the Raiders are 3-point favorites on the road. But I don't know why we're favorites. They're getting Jay Cutler back. Smoking Jay Cutler, man. Smoking Jay for the win. But you know I'm taking the Raiders for the W, because if you've been listening to this podcast, a main theme for this defense has been no interceptions this whole entire season. None. Zippo. Zada. It does not happen for this Raiders defensive backfield. They were playing last week without Amerson, without Carl Joseph, but there is some good news. KJ should be back from that groin injury, and we should be getting second round draft pick Obi Melifonwu making his debut on Sunday Night Football against the Dolphins, and I am predicting that the Raiders will finally get an interception, because they're playing fucking smoking Jay Cutler, the man that is known for the pick six himself. Jay Cutler has got to have a few turnovers. I wish Charles Woodson was still playing because he had Jay Cutler's number and would say he would laugh. Even when he was on the Packers playing the Bears, they would laugh because he knew where Jay Cutler was going to throw the ball. We need some of those turnovers because we lost a turnover battle last week. We need to win that turnover battle because he's going to be taking shots down the field to Jarvis Landry, who is pretty much their only offensive weapon now because, breaking news, Jay Ajayi has been traded to the Eagles for a fourth round pick. For a fourth round pick? What is this Dolphins doing? Are they doing blow in the front office? Oh, wait, I probably shouldn't answer that because the whole entire coaching staff is on some fucking blow, man. Where's the blow? Where's the blow? You give up one of the best rookie running backs in the league last year for a fourth round pick? I don't understand it, but hey, I'm not going to complain because that is just one more problem that the Raiders defense does not have to deal with. If we can slow down Jarvis Landry somehow, some way, just pick off a couple balls from Jay Cutler and we can win this game because we saw the Ravens put up 40 points on the Dolphins last week. The Ravens, they don't even have an offense, really. They had Joe Flacco and Ryan Mount in the second half. They put up 40 points on this Dolphins defense. The Raiders should put up 50 this week. Give me a 50-point spread, and the Raiders should still win. They should absolutely dominate. And I've mentioned so far this year on the podcast, I'm still staying away from the panic button. I've mentioned it, the Raiders. I still think they got a shot for the playoffs. Everybody's, oh, you're 3-5 now, 3-5. Well, hey, I said don't let us be that wild card team. Don't let us get in at 9-7 because the Raiders still sitting at 3-5. Are still only a game and a half out of that last wild card spot. So I'm trying to warn you fans, don't let the Raiders in. I still got faith in his team. I don't got faith in our coaches right now, but I still got faith on the personnel on the field. I've mentioned it. The Raiders have historically been bad on the East Coast on the last podcast that I previewed the Bills for. In their last 24 games, they are now 4-20. Yes, that's usually a good thing in California, but when you've only won four games on the East Coast, those 20 losses did not feel good at all. We are going to have to try to reverse that trend and get back into it, slow down this offense from Miami. But hey, it really is just Jay Cutler hucking the ball downfield. As I mentioned, the Raiders defense should step up. I wouldn't be surprised if Khalil Mack sends Jay Cutler back to the IR. The Raiders will win this game. And I've said it, I've stayed off the panic button so far this year. But if we lose to the Dolphins, the panic button is broken. I am living the panic button. I will commit suicide on the panic button. This will be the end of the podcast on the panic button. I guarantee you we will not lose to the Dolphins. And if we lose to the Dolphins, then our season's over. Then the wild card hope is over. The playoff hope is over. We cannot lose to the Dolphins. We got to get a win by any means, Mac. By any means. And I will take the Raiders on the road -3 points to get the win over the Dolphins. And then let's go ahead and look at the rest of the schedule, the rest of the slate for week 9 of the 2017 NFL season. On Thursday Night Football, we got a division matchup in the AFC East. We got the Bills taking on the Jets. The Bills are favored by 3.5 points on the road in New York. This is a Jets team that has been playing above expectations, have been keeping games close. And in division games, I usually like to keep the point spread within 3 points, but this Buffalo Bills defense being the number one in rushing yards allowed, passing yards allowed, points per game, and turnovers per game, I will take the Bills over the Jets -3.5 points. Moving on to Sunday morning, we got the Falcons and the Panthers. This is going to be one of the games of the week. This is a true matchup for the NFC South, and I'm going back and forth, deciding who I'm trying to pick. The Panthers are favored by 2 points at home. The Falcons, we all know this high power offense, but it really has been struggling this year. Julio Jones does not look like Julio Jones. He's still making plays left and right, but he is not the number one wide receiver in the NFL right now, and he's going to have to be against his Panthers defense because, as I mentioned, every time Luke Kuechly plays, he makes an impact on his team. I'm pretty sure that the 2-3 games that the Panthers have lost so far, those have been the 2 or 3 games that Luke Kuechly has been out, so I got to stay consistent and stick with the Panthers. I will take Luke Kuechly to lead this defense to pick off Matt Ryan and get the win in Carolina -2 points. Moving on next to the AFC South, we got the Colts and the Texans facing off in Texans, and we get probably our biggest point spread of the week. The Houston Texans are favored by 13 points over the Colts. Ooh wee. 2 touchdowns for that ass, boy. But I've seen what Deshaun Watson did last week against the Seattle Seahawks defense. I got no doubt in my mind that he can cover the spread against his Colts defense. Has been absolutely horrid. As I mentioned, Andrew Luck, the bad news just keeps on pouring in. He might just be shut down for the entire season. And I told you, I'm not picking the Colts without Andrew Luck. Give me the Texans -13 points. Next, we got the Bengals and the Jaguars. The Jaguars are coming off a bye week. They will have 2 weeks to prepare for the Bengals. They are favored by 5 points at home. Leonard Fournette was banged up a little bit with a foot injury, but but through this bye week, he should be 100%, and I got no faith in the Bengals with Marvin Lewis, so I will take the Jaguars -5 at home. Next, we got a battle in the NFC South between the Buccaneers and the Saints. The Saints are favored by 7 points, but this is another one of those tricky games. I'm telling you, everything in the NFC South with four pretty damn good quarterbacks, Jameis Winston, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton, these games are always up for grabs, and I always like keeping them within a 3-point spread, so for that reason alone, I might have to take the Buccaneers plus the 7 points, because even if the Saints win, I would think it's going to be within a touchdown. They could end up winning by a field goal. Jameis Winston has pulled off some great games against the Saints in his career. He has been struggling the past couple weeks, but I look for him to bounce back against the Saints, so I will take the Buccaneers plus the 7 points for the upset over the Saints. Next up, we got the Rams and the Giants in New York. The Giants are coming off a bye. They had 2 weeks to prepare for these Rams coming to town, but the Rams also had a bye, so two teams off a bye, 2 weeks to prepare. The Rams are favored by 3.5 points. The Rams honestly have just been the better football team this year. We've all know the Giants stories. They lost Odell, lost Brandon Marshall, and they somehow beat the Broncos, but I still don't think that they're a quality team in the NFL, and the Rams are looking like a quality team competing with the Seahawks for that NFC West. So I will take Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, and these Rams coming off a bye to take care of the Giants in New York, -3.5 points. Next, we got the Broncos and the Eagles facing off in Philadelphia. The Eagles are favored by 8 points. The Broncos offense has looked completely inept, and the Philadelphia Eagles have looked like one of the best offenses in all of football, so I will take them to win this game by double digits, even though they are playing a good defense in Denver. We saw what the Chiefs were able to do and put up some points on them this past week. I think this Eagles offense can as well, but this is going to be really interesting for Carson Wentz against an elite defense, one of the top of the levels in the NFL, but I still got the Eagles -8 points. Next, we got the Ravens and the Titans. The Titans are favored by 5.5 points. They're coming off a bye, so they should be well rested. The Ravens, this is one of the teams where I just don't want to bet on them. I don't want to bet against them. I don't want to have my money anything near them, because they look like a completely different team every single week. They put up a 40 shot against the Dolphins last week, beat us, lose to the Bears. Who the hell is this team? I can't bet on them, so I will take the Titans -5.5 points. Next, we got a division matchup in the NFC West as the 49ers and the Cardinals face off. The Cardinals are favored by 2 points, and the 49ers now got Jimmy Garoppolo. I think I might have skipped the Niners in our review. I think I put two teams in the five spot to talk about. But hey, we'll talk about the 49ers right now, because they fell to 0-8. To be the worst start in franchise history. What a truly pathetic team. And hey, are you still bragging about, hey, we're 0-6. We're the best 0-6. We're the best 0-7. We're the best 0-8. Well, that's fucking great. Enjoy being 0-8 and enjoy going straight for that number one overall pick. I guess you won't have to spend it on a quarterback now, because they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo. It's a little bit of a head scratcher to me. It seems like 49 fans like this move a lot. But with that second pick, that's basically a first round pick at the back of the picks, because that's about the same number that we had Derek Carr at. If you're thinking the Niners are going to have one or two overall, that means they're going to have either picks 33 or 34 or 35. I think that's a very valuable piece, and they did not even get an extension for Jimmy Garoppolo's contract within his trade. They got to try to do that after the trade, so they still have no commitment from Jimmy Garoppolo. It's going to be interesting to see how the Niners pan out from there, but I don't got them winning this weekend against the Cardinals. The Cardinals are 2-point favorites on the road. I think that they come off the bye, and Adrian Peterson has another big game as they rip up this 49ers defense that really hasn't been too impressive at all this year. It's going to be interesting to see Jimmy Garoppolo in his first week back. Will the Niners get a win this year? Well, if they just start winning games now, they're just screwing themselves out of a better draft pick. So, hey, I got nothing, no good news for you Niners fans. Yeah, enjoy Jimmy Garoppolo, but enjoy the best 0-8 football team also. Let's keep it moving now between the Redskins and the Seahawks, because the Seahawks actually got a chance in the NFC West. They are favored by 7.5 points over the Redskins. The Redskins have been playing close games, but Kirk Cousins, I don't think he can do it against his Legion of Boom defense. I will take the Seahawks -7.5. Chiefs and Cowboys should be one of the best games in the week. That is going to be the main feature of the afternoon slate games, as the Chiefs are favored by 1 point, and man oh man, did the Chiefs get a fucking blessing. Why don't they have to play against Ezekiel Elliott? Because you know what this suspension does? Lines up Ezekiel Elliott to come back and play against the Raiders. Why are the Chiefs just getting everything falling into their laps this year? It's going to be interesting to see if Dak Prescott pushing the ball downfield, Dez Bryant versus Marcus Peters. That is the one and only matchup I want to watch in this game. It's going to be interesting to see Dak trying to get it done without Zeke. They should activate Darren McFadden off of the IR. They've been stashing him all year. Didn't even want to suit him up because they don't want him to get hurt. He's that fragile. But we've all seen what Darren McFadden's been able to do with that line before. He was a top five rusher just a few years ago. They still got Alfred Alfred Morris. This is a truly hard game to pick, probably up there with the Falcons and the Panthers. I will have to take the Chiefs on the road. Even though it's killing me to say that, I want to take the Cowboys, but without Zeke, I got to see how Dak and his offense performs first, so the smart bet might just be the Chiefs minus 1 point, and then we get to Monday Night Football, because Sunday night is the Raiders and the Dolphins, but Monday night is the Lions and the Packers, and the Lions are favored by 2.5 points. This is a game, if Aaron Rodgers was in it, then you know for sure they wouldn't be favored. Brent Hundley did not look that great last week, but now they got 2 weeks to try to come out and prepare for this Lions offense. I still can't trust Brent Hundley until I see him actually make the plays. For that reason alone, I'm going to have to take Matthew Stafford out shooting the kid from UCLA and putting up more points. I will take the Lions minus 2.5 points, but this is the Green Bay Packers at home at Lambeau. Hey, 3 points might decide this game, so Lions at 2.5 points is not a bad bet at all, my friends. And those are all of our bets from week 9 of the NFL season here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. And I'll give you a quick recap for anybody who just ignored all my yabba blabba blabba and just wants the straight picks by the numbers. In week 9, I got the Raiders over the Dolphins, Sunday Night Football, minus 3 points. Thursday night, I will take the Bills over the Jets, minus 3.5 points. Falcons, Panthers, I'm taking the Panthers in a division matchup, minus 2 points. Colts and Texans, give me the Texans to cover a 13-point spread. The Bengals and the Jaguars, I'll take the Jaguars coming off a bye to beat the Bengals by 5 points. The Buccaneers and the Saints, I will take the Buccaneers plus 7 for the upset. The Rams and the Giants, I'll take the Rams minus 3.5 points. Broncos at Eagles, I will take Eagles minus 8 at home to cover. Ravens at Titans, Titans at home minus 5.5. Cardinals at 49ers, I'm taking the Cardinals on the road, minus 2 points to beat the Niners. Redskins, Seahawks, I'll take the Seahawks at home, minus 7.5. Chiefs and Cowboys, I'll take the Chiefs on the road, minus 1 point in Dallas without Ezekiel Elliott. And then Monday Night Football, I got to take Matthew Stafford and the Lions without Aaron Rodgers being on the Packers. Give me the minus 2.5 points. And that is every single bet from week 9 here on Straight Cash, homie, of the Bay's Golden Days podcast. What did I tell you last week? What do we hit? 8 of 12, 9 of 12. If you want to count that push as a win or a loss, take it, leave it, whatever you want. We won you more money than we lost you money last week, and that's all we're trying to do here on the Bay's Golden Days. Thank you for downloading, listening, subscribing, iTunes, Apple, Google Play, all the good stuff where the podcasts are. If you follow us on social media, make sure you like our shit. Hey, don't like it if you don't want to. But hey, show some respect at Bay's Golden Days on Twitter, Instagram, all that nonsense. And check out our website, bgdsports.com, for the instant podcast. The minute it comes out, that's the first place it will be, bgdsports.com. And until next week, this is still Raider Nation. This is still the Bay's Golden Days. And you know what it is, baby. It's golden. Golden. Golden.
Steady gold, pony boy.